I'm going to take just a minute to introduce Cooper. We all know fairly well. But I think of him as a leader without a title. He leads wherever he goes. He extends relationships. He builds relationships. He's a friend. He's a brother. He's an uncle, husband, athlete. Athlete. Businessman. Musician, as if you didn't know. Coach, teacher, helper, server. He's a lot of things to a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. And we are blessed today to hear what the Lord has given him to share with us. It's all yours.
Thanks, Bill. You left out a few things, Bill, but we'll talk about that after. All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is an honor and a privilege to be up here, and I'm excited about this. So you can see the title. This is a double question title. I just thought about that as I put that together. You rarely see two questions in the title and subtitle. So I guess this message is going to leave you with some questions, hopefully. And I was thinking about a question. A good question sets your heart and your mind on a journey. So hopefully this has that effect today. Before we pray to open this up, I just wanted to tie this in. Hopefully you can see that. It's a little dark. A few weeks ago, Pat spoke on David and Goliath and how prepared David was. And he spoke about how David really wasn't the underdog in that story. And then a couple weeks later, David spoke on protecting our house and referenced David in that as well, how David answered the call and stepped into an authority, didn't wear the king's armor, but took that risk and ran after the battle line. Kevin has been speaking about God being with us and how critical that is to all of these endeavors. And so this message, I feel like, really works into all of those. So let me pray, because I want it to be from God and not me. Lord, I ask that you speak this morning. You speak to hearts. Lord, you use me. Use me to deliver the words you want to be delivered, God. But ultimately, if the message isn't from you, then it's lacking so much. And so I ask, God, that you speak to each heart today and you do work. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you want to turn to Psalm 16, you can. It's up there. But this is the foundational verse we're going to be looking at. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. So we're going to be talking about what you're looking at and what you're looking through. And so a lot of today is about perspective. Perspective, you know, has a huge effect on the way you live your life. Would you agree? Okay, good. My job, I'm a teacher, and this year I'm working as an instructional coach, where I'm working with teachers. But as a teacher, your perspective can make or break your influence. And in my district, I teach in a high-risk district with a lot of really complex family dynamics and heavy, heavy things that kids are going through. And kids will act up a lot. And if my perspective is I just take that at face value, then I miss it. If they do something defiant, if they're defiant, and I just hammer it right there and I say, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, I miss it. Because so often, that's just a symbol of something that's going on way back here. And if I look at it from that other angle with empathy and come alongside them, then it's incredible how powerful that is. My new job, I'm working with teachers, and so I'm essentially teaching teachers, and I'm discovering how much of a perspective shift I need in that role. That Bob gets this as an administrator. That teachers are learners too. They're adult learners, and so having that same empathy and that perspective shift to support them. Here are some common activities that help, exercise our perspective. You've seen a lot of these. So I want you to tell me what you see in the image. Duck? All right, who saw the rabbit first? Really? Okay, who saw the duck first? Interesting. They say if you see the duck first, no, I'm just kidding. This is that classic one. This one always frustrated me. And I had such a hard time seeing the, which one do you see first? There's two ladies, the old or the young one? Who sees the old lady first? Interesting. Who can't see the old lady? Okay, the old lady is looking this way with a big chin, and she's like tucked in a fur collar thing. Anyways, perspective, right? All right, who saw the monkey first? Okay. Who saw the lion? Yep. You see it? Okay. You see the lion? Who sees the elephant? I'm just kidding. There's no elephant. Perspective, right? Totally different things to see depending on your perspective. When I think about perspective, I think about comedians. I think comedians, a large part, are funny because they see everyday things that we see just through a different lens. And this time of year, October is a great month for sports, if you're a sports fan. Football is in full swing. The youth sport, fall sports are coming to a close, and you have lots of championships and playoffs, and it's really exciting. Then you have Major League Baseball playoffs and the World Series. I don't pay attention to baseball until October, and then all of a sudden I'm a big fan. Kelly's like, my kids are like, why are you watching baseball? Because I'm into it right now. But in some of those series, like if you're a Dodgers fan, that perspective is a little bit different than if you're a Nationals fan, right? Yeah. So depending on the way you're looking at it, it's good or bad. But one comedian's take on playoff series in sports might be helpful for you a little bit. It's a pretty crazy effect how he sings when it looks like he's talking. Yeah. We'll give this a minute. This is so high pressure for Peter right now. Who's up for a skit? No good? All right. Let's try to flip it back. I might be able to play it from here. Okay. Let's see if this works. Yeah, but I don't think it's... Oh, I still want to show this. Should we try it one more time? Or do you think we're a no-go? Yeah. I know it's I'm hitting it and it's not playing. Oh, here we go. Oh shoot, but I want to fast forward it to a certain part and I can't do that from here. Shoot. Okay. We're gonna skip it. Sorry. I'll give you a summary. You got it? Okay. Well, he's talking about, this is so much less effective. All right. He's talking about how in these series, I'm not even going to attempt that. That's not going to do it justice. Forget that. We'll come back to it if it works. Trust me, it was really funny. Watch it in your own time. All right, so just having a different perspective on everyday things was the point of that, and to get you to laugh a little bit. All right, this image. We're not there. All right. All right. I'm okay. I feel worse for you guys right now because that's... Well, here we are. So, there's a beautiful image of... I'm just going to describe my slides. All right. We're going to give this just a few more minutes. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay. So, perspective. If you look out on a beautiful mountain meadow, what do you see? You see the mountains, you see the grass. Imagine this scene where... You got it? There we go. Okay. Again, what do you see there? Don't answer, but just think about it. There's no trick here either. You're not supposed to see like a spaceship or something on them. And what do you see here? We're going to come back to that. I have set the Lord continually before me. And the part I want to emphasize in this verse is that I have set the Lord continually before me. When something is before you in this context, it means it's in front of you. And so if you constantly set something in front of you, you can't help but what? See it. So you're constantly looking at it. And so I want to ask you and us, if you make a blank there, I have set blank continually before me. Think about what you're constantly looking at. And when we say look, we're really talking about your mind's eye. Just think for a moment. I have set blank continually before me. So it might be finances. You might constantly think about your health. So I've set my health continually before me. I've set my job. I've set my kids. Something, whatever that is, I have set blank continually before me. Politics, social climate, the enemy. So whatever you're setting before you affects what is beyond, affects the way you see everything else. Okay, so you can look here, you can see this guy looking out, it's something, but whatever is before you is going to affect the way you see everything else in life. So if all those things I listed are what you can constantly set before you, it affects the way you see God. So here are circumstances. All right, so we have finances, politics, health, my own flaws, responsibility, my kids, relationships, past hurt, and on and on. So circumstances. For the thousands of listeners online, I'm holding up a transparent layer with words written on it. So if this is what you're staring at, if this is constantly before you, here's God. I can barely see it. It's blurred up. It looks smaller than this. It's distorted. And you know, if I actually focus on it, like I can look through it, it's still blurry, but if I actually focus on the words, I really can't see anything else. But if we flip it and we look at things this way, there's peace. And I see them clearly in the right order. Notice these didn't change at all. The circumstances did not change at all. This is all that changed. God didn't change. It's just my perspective changed. And it completely changes everything in my life, depending on the way I'm looking at this. So I want to talk about David's perspective. And back to this picture. You can look at something like this and just look at it, and it's beautiful. You could admire, you know, the mountains. You see that river in the back. You see some of these pine trees, these incredible bighorn sheep. But when you look at it this way, I'll turn it that way. When you look at it through this, like David did, looking at that same thing, you see something else. And so this is just one example of a description of nature in the Psalms where David says, He makes springs of water pour into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. So he makes springs of water pour into the ravines. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land bears the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the junipers. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the hyrax. Isn't that incredible? You see the different way to look at it. And so when you go like this, and you look at that view, you kind of have to just go like this. David, the Psalms are full of reflections of his perspective, like this. Seeing things through this lens. Things that everybody else sees, but seeing it in a way where it's revealed to him what he's really looking at. And so, when he comes to this, so this is Goliath. If you don't know the story of David and Goliath, I'm assuming that you do, so I apologize if you don't. What was the nation of Israel looking at here? What was before them? The giant. So here's Israel. Here's Goliath. They're here. It says, for 40 days he came out and taunted them. And they're staring at him. And what was their response? Yeah, it was fear. They were terrified. Because this is what was constantly before them. And they're staring at Goliath, and he was scary. He was scary. But they're trembling, just staring at this giant. Can you hold that for me? Just right there. And so David is sent. He's out in the fields coming in, and on the journey, he's sent by his dad to go bring supplies into his brothers and the soldiers who are fighting. And so he walks up, and he's probably worshiping, seeing things as he's walking along through this lens. And he walks up, and he's like, "What are you guys all doing? What's the problem?" Everybody's shaking. He's like, "What? What, him?" Because who is ever before him affects everything he sees. He says this. He says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would taunt the armies of the living God?" He's like, "You guys seeing what I'm seeing? Like the armies of the living God, that's your army. It's your living God. Are you not seeing him? In comparison, look how small he is in comparison to him. Are you not seeing that?" He says, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Thanks, Bill. It's incredible. That's one of the big things I see in that story. The Lord is continually before me. And so when you look at circumstances, you see them from his perspective because you have the real living God before you, with you, and it's real. It was real to him. Set the Lord continually before me. So how do we put God continually before us? Again, another question. And I don't intend to leave you with, you know, a direct answer on how to do this. But here's what I can speak to. In order to have something before you, you have to see it. To place something before you, at some point, I believe you have to see it. And so, seeing, David saw the Lord while he was in those fields. He saw him to some extent. And again, we're referring to your mind's eye, the eyes of your heart. And that affected him. Jacob saw the Lord when he was in the wilderness. God gave him the vision, and it changed him. He was a scoundrel, a lying thief, and God changed him into Israel, changed his name to Israel. He's the father of God's people. Paul saw the Lord on the road to Damascus. John saw the Lord. The list goes on. So saw, in this context, I would say can be replaced with they deeply, unmistakably encountered God. Deeply, unmistakably encountered God. And it changed them forever. So many other stories you think about. Abraham carrying out the commands that God asked him to carry out. How did he do that? How did Elijah walk up to the prophets of Baal with their altars, and he was so confident to dump water on his altar and call on fire from the Lord? That really happened, and he was so confident in it. I believe God was before them. God was real to them. And I really believe he wants us to see him, to encounter him deeply. He wants that. He wants your life to be lived out in a way where you're living from that place, where he's so real to you, like Peter walking by that lame man and saying, "Silver and gold have I not, but what I have I give you. Walk in the name of Jesus." And he walks. Why was he able to do that? Are you following me? Are you jiving with that? To me, that pumps me up. One important note is that a deep encounter with God does not perfect us. David was far from perfect after his encounters. Moses was not perfect after the burning bush. God uses trials and life and really hard things, the fire, to perfect us. So that doesn't perfect you. But it's critical. It's critical. And as I close up here, I want to read from, this is a book by a guy named A.W. Tozier. Todd, I know you've been reading him. It's called Men Who Met God. And let me just read a few things from this. He said, "Do you think Abraham would have accomplished what he did in the realm of faith if he had declined his notable face-to-face encounter with God? What would have been Moses' biography had he not experienced God personally? Jacob lost his reputation as a deceiver and a supplanter and became Israel, one who prevails with God when he encountered God at Peniel. It was then he could say, 'I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' It was not until Elijah experienced a dramatic confrontation with the Lord of heaven and earth that he was transformed with reverent awe, humility, and cleansing. Only then could he say, 'Here I am, send me.'" He says, "And finally, I would observe that some religious groups in our day seem to have no imperatives. But in the Christian faith, it is imperative that the individual meet God. We are not talking about just the possibility of meeting God. We are not saying just that it would be a good thing to meet God. Meeting God is imperative. And the great thing is, he wants it more than we do. And he's actively pursuing that in us. In every single person in this room, I promise you, things in your life are leading you to this, to that. It's happening. He is doing that. And he says, thankfully, the gospel of Christ tells us how to find God, to respond to him, to love him. The gospel tells us that there is a door, only one door. Jesus Christ is that door. And through him, we meet God. Gospel tells us that Christ takes God the Father by one hand and repentant sinners by the other and brings them together. Men and women who have met God and have chosen to live for him have found the heavens opened. They have found the world filled with the presence of God. To them it has been, in Milton's word, like a new sun risen on noonday. And you, if you have never met God in such an experience, he waits to grant you an encounter with himself. That's the message. And the great hope in all of this is how good God is. His intention in all of it is fueled by nothing but love for you. That he desires that for me. He desires it for you to meet him, for him to be real, to where you can live a life looking out at all the things through him, to see it the way he intends you to see it. And it will change everything. So if you have Jesus, you have the key. You have the pass. If you've accepted him, if you haven't, then you can. That invitation is open. And there are so many good steps and guidance to finding him and seeking him, and I'm not going to do any of that, but it's always a good idea just to ask, to start by asking. Ask for that encounter and expect him to respond to that. Amen.